Do not confuse this with treatment or mental health advice or direction. Nothing on this podcast is made to supplement or supersede the relationship and direction of your mental health caretakers. Although David Koslowski is a licensed marriage and family therapist, he is not functioning as a certified mental health professional in this environment. And same applies to any professional who may appear on the Light the Fight podcast. Welcome to the OG Therapy.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of OG Therapy, and I have my first repeat offender on the podcast. Not in real life, he's a repeat offender. Just on the podcast, he's a repeat offender. My man, Rojo, Robert Johnson. Rojo, thanks for being on the podcast with me today.
Oh, no, thank you, man. This means a lot. Like, at the end of the day, this is about us giving back and making sure some people can hear us out. So thank you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, today's topic is right up your alley. For those of you guys who don't know, Robert Johnson, former University of Utah, standout free safety, former NFL free safety for the Tennessee Titans, father, you know, lots of roles, you know, but you've been in the action sports industry for action sports gaming. You've worn many hats, but your main staple throughout all the things that you've done has always been working with youth and youth sports.
It feels like it. And I love it because my kid is one of those kids that's the youth. And, you know, I'm trying to learn how to be a better parent. But on top of being a better parent, learn how to be able to talk to these kids on a level that they need to be talked to and get some things to understand with them.
Well, and also too, I mean, people usually like things that they're good at. And if you sucked at it, you probably would have scratched that off the to-do list and went off into other ventures.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it, right? Like of all the parents, like, man, that coach sucks. We don't like Coach Rojo. That guy sucked. After a while, hopefully you'd get the hint and quit, but that's the opposite. Now, for myself, having you train my son, watch you with the kids, your patience, your understanding, the way you approach the parents is a big reason why I wanted you on the podcast. And I just wanted you to weigh on a couple of things because a little while back I did an episode and I sent you this episode. This episode was a request that I did on Light the Fight, our main channel podcast. I had some requests from parents that were asking me, hey, how do we handle issues with coaches? That we have problems with the coaches, our kids have problems with the coaches have problems with my kid, all these different types of issues. And with youth sports, I mean, it's right in the heat of youth sports right now. I mean, January, there's so many different types of sports going on, right? Yeah. The crossover from football to basketball, there's wrestling. And also too, in today's world, not like when you and I grew up, one sport's all year round now.
Yeah.
I mean, when we grew up, it was like, you could play three or four sports. Yeah. You can't really play three or four sports now because they bleed into each other. In. Mm-hmm. So what I want to talk about is a little part two to that episode I did about my suggestions and my advice that I was giving to parents about how to approach coaches and also how to instill assertiveness and help your kids be better at talking to coaches themselves. So let's establish, I think, a pretty common or a pretty well-known thing right now. I think it's safe to say not all coaches, so not 100% of coaches, but the majority of the coaches that are coaching youth right now are your age, my age. Mm-hmm. And that means they were raised in a different generation. It's a pretty much blanket statement from a lot of the old school folks, right? Like the old school people that were raised in a different generation, that one of the knocks on this current generation is that there's a lot more coddling from parents.
Yes.
There's a lot of parents that because they spend so much money, by the way, did your parents spend thousands of dollars on your athletic career?
Oh, no.
My parents sure they spent thousands of dollars on my athletic career.
Yeah.
My parents are like, if I suck, they'd be like, we better stop playing then because we ain't paying for it, right?
My mom was like, hey, coach, if you want them, you better figure out how to get them to practice every day.
Exactly. Youth sports better be real cheap. Okay. So if you can imagine, if our parents, well, we don't have to use our parents' example, but today things cost a lot of money. Parents, definitely the net income, you know, most families make more of a higher income now. You drive nicer cars. I drive nice cars. My parents did. So So we're leveling up. Just like our parents wanted, they wanted us to be better than them. And just like, of course, us as parents, we're going to want our kids to be better than us. So if we want our kids to be better than us, we're going to go out of our way to give them the things that we did not have.
Yes.
We're going to, I've seen your son. He doesn't have janky shoes on.
Yeah.
Nice clothes. He ain't borrowing his brother's shoes, right? He doesn't have four or five brothers above him, right? There's no hand-me-downs.
Or matching colors.
Duct tape on his sneakers, right? So we're looking at these kids coming up now. Parents, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm just saying this is an observation. They're spending lots of money. If they're spending lots of money on their kids, like most people, they want a return on that investment.
Yes.
They want to guarantee that their kid's going to start. going to be successful. Mm-hmm. And eventually the big thing in today's world, especially now that there's money in college sports, is they want their kids to get Division I scholarships.
Yes.
For regardless what the sport is, they want them to be at a high level. Now let's look at sports that aren't in college. Motocross, surfing, skateboarding, you know, BMX biking. Even though there's not college sponsorships for that, the pros in those sports make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. With
back in the day,
endorsement deals.
And, X Games sports were like laughed at. Now you can make millions of dollars as a skateboarder at 16 years old.
And you can make the Olympics too.
And you make the Olympics too. Yeah, yeah. Snowboarding, right? Yeah. So the point I'm getting is that we obviously, there's coaches from the old school coaching kids and parents in a totally different generation, totally different realm. Parents have high expectations of their kids, have high expectations of return on their investment. And then coaches have a higher expectation to be more sensitive, more understanding. And I would believe, I think it's a safe thing to say that coaches today spend a lot more time interfacing, texting with parents, and having to deal with a lot of combative and argumentative situations and complaining from parents. There's always been parents complaining. I think it's just on steroids now in compared to past generations. So you'd agree with that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
So what I want to talk about for a few minutes is, you are actually in a unique position because you are a coach in the training sense. You're helping develop the skills of, you know, football players, basketball players, anyone that wants to get better footwork, and more specifically with football. So in your position, you'll have a lot of parents come to you, open up to you. They say, hey, I want my kid to be better at XYZ because they didn't start, they didn't get this, or I just want them to be really good because I think they have potential. You don't have as much of the like heat coming at you from how come my kid didn't start, because that's not the role that you play. So I want to ask you, since you agree with all the stuff I was talking about as far as the expectations being higher, more money, kids, you know, walking around all swagged up, wearing all this cool stuff, matching gear, a lot of entitlement, right? Which really isn't their fault. If your mom would have given you everything you want as a kid, would you have said, no, mom?
Oh, no.
Of course you're going to take it.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
So being in the position you're at right now, I did a podcast a little bit ago, like I said, talking about suggestions I give to parents. One of the suggestions I gave to parents, regardless of how young your child is that I tell parents that you have to teach your kid how to communicate and advocate for themselves. Even when your kid is struggling and they come and complain to you, if you take your kid's complaints, get all stirred up and all emotional, and you go straight after the coach, that could set up a really bad situation with your relationship with the coach and the kids. So the question, my first question I have for you is, when parents come to you and they complain to you about coaches, about their kids not being getting playing time in their sports, and they're wanting the kids to improve and get better, what do you think about what I said in regards to encouraging the parents to teach their kids and advocate for themselves? Do you agree with that? And if so, like, why are, in your opinion, what are some of the reasons why it's good to help kids learn how to speak for themselves?
Well, I mean, first off, I'm 100% like, I'm 100% yes with what you're saying, because at the end of the day, the parent is not on the field. The kids are on the field. True. And when you look back at, you might have a kid that's really good, but have a terrible attitude. Sometimes as a coach, you don't want that player that's awesome, All-American, but he has a terrible attitude. You don't want that to bleed over into the other players. And sometimes—
Cancer in the locker room.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, it turns into the locker room lawyer. Yeah. That's what we say, it's a locker room lawyer, where this kid is like, I'm not getting my time, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. And we know that he's good, but you're not reaching that potential. That kid can really destroy a team. So when it comes to them going to their parents, like, well, you know, dad, I'm not doing this, or mom, I'm not doing that. And they're like, well, we know that you're good, we know that you deserve it, so we're going to go talk to the coach. That's going to screw up. That messes up that kid and make him feel like, even when he's not doing good and he's figuring out ways to cut corners, His parents is going to be there and going to like protect them, and coach, you need to play my son and do this. And then all of a sudden that transfer portal, it seemed like the transfer portal it kicks in quick when it comes to that one kid that was so good, but yet he don't get along with this coach. You know, you have to step back as a parent and allow your kid to not figure it out, but you got to allow your kid to understand, like, hey, are you putting in all the work? You need to ask your kid and have these serious conversations with your kid of like, hey, on that one rep that I saw you do, was you doing it 100% like the coach said? Or were you taking a step back and like, oh, I'm just going to take this play off? Like, it really turns into, as a parent, you have to decide to ask your kid and have those serious conversations of like, do you really want to play for this coach? And are you really giving your best effort? Because the same way that that coach is looking at your kid and you looking at your kid is like, oh, this is a Heisman. This is an NFL guy. It might be a kid. It might be a coach that's on a higher level that's looking at your kid as the same way, but he's not going to allow him to see it. He wants him to bust his ass and do what he needs to do on that field or on whatever sport it is. He wants him to do what's need to be done to make sure that he reaches to the highest potential that he feels like he can reach.
So I'm gonna just sum up what you just said in a sense, so it's very palatable for everybody. Because I agree. I really like some of the things you said. So when kids come to their parents, parents have to be really quick. I mean, have to be really careful not to react to their kids' fear, complaints, and discomfort. Because as a parent, when your kid is hurt and they come, they're hurt. It's like, oh my gosh, what happened? And you want to quickly help them. When their feelings are hurt, when they're feeling down and they're feeling uncomfortable or they're feeling like they're unjustly treated, if you've had a bad day as a parent and you're stressed out and you can't control a lot of things in your life, and then your kid brings this smoke to you, it's just over. Like, it's hard not to react to that. So not to sound like we're parent bashing and everything, I kind of want to flip it on the other side. You get it as a parent, don't you?
Yeah. And
it's hard not to react.
And I can give a little prime example of my son, like playing flag football. Recently, their team didn't win a game. But my son, he was one of the top players, but he always wanted the ball. And then the coach, it seemed like the coach started to fall into that position of like, okay, well, his dad played in the NFL. Let me give his son the ball more. And I had to pull the coach aside and said, don't give my son the ball like that. And he's like, well, he's good. I was like, I don't care. He's not pulling flags.
Yeah,
I'm like on defense, he's missing flags.
He's cherry picking. Yeah, waiting for the offense.
Yeah, for me, I just was like, he's not playing hard on defense, which he's leaving the. He's not pulling flags, giving the opponent they score a touchdown. Now it's like we're on offense. Coach, give me the ball every play. And the coach is like, well, I think this is what I was supposed to. I'm like, no, like my son is good, but let's not get to that point. He has to earn his right on this field, and that's me looking at it from my perspective. As I know my kid is good. But I'm not about to sit up there and play the card of like, you better give my son the ball, this, that. I see what he's doing. I'm sitting back watching him. It's like,
if anyone knows, parents out there, if anyone knows that your kid is a potential being a superstar, it'd be you because you watch them, right?
Yes.
And if anyone knows your kid has a potential being a lazy punk attitude, entitled sports kid, it's going to be you.
Yeah.
You're the same parents yelling for not picking up the towel on the floor. Yeah. Why didn't you do your homework right? So, okay, this is a takeaway. You guys, listen to what he just said. Instead of being scared that your kid doesn't get what they want, be more scared that they get everything that they want.
Yes. Yes, that is.
That's more dangerous, especially in today's world. Mm-hmm. So I like that you took the opposite approach. Like, no. Don't give my son no extra treatment. Because what happens so many times, coaches, they get out of the youth sports mentality and they get into a really high competitive mentality. Like, this ain't D1.
No, it's not.
This ain't They're at the kids. Level like you're getting paid a lot of money. So make sure that you spread this around, because the other members of the team will get better if you not put my son in check, but you don't give him a false sense of reality.
Hey, you're only as good as your weakest link. And like goes for college, NFL, goes all the way down to Pop Warner, little kids leaders, that at the end of the day, whatever kid that might not be that good, you have to be able to let the other kids motivate them to get them to that level. Because those kids are the same kids where the parents are like, my kid is much better than that kid. He shouldn't be playing. It's like they're on the same team, man.
Yeah. And also look, your kid could get hurt.
Yeah.
What happens if the superstar gets hurt? What happens if the backup quarterback doesn't get reps? What happened if the kid on the offensive line that everybody said, oh, you know, you're not as good, so then he stops trying. Next you know, the three starters get hurt, and now he's in there. Hurt. Now he's not confident. He's not ready because no one lifted him up.
Yeah.
No one got him ready. I remember, and I'm sure you probably have the same stories. I remember it was a harsh reality, of course, at D1 at a different level, but it's like you're only as good as your last performance.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're a superstar last year. You're hurt anyways. What's your name again? Mm-hmm. Like, they forgot about you really quick.
NFL days too.
But even worse, right? But we're talking about youth sports.
Yeah.
Everyone's career is going to end.
Yes, it is.
Most of the kids' career is going to end. There's more kids' careers going to end at middle school, at high school, at college, even more so than the pros, because more kids are playing middle school sports, high school, college, and pros. So if these kids want to be prepared, we always hear that sports is a great metaphor of life. and how sports can really prepare. Because you have to learn how to work as a team, right? Even if you have an individual sport, you have to work with coaches. You have to learn how to be selfless. Even though in that process, if you're really good, you can get put up on a pedestal.
Yeah. Yeah, you could get put up on a pedestal, but you have to be able to check that ego. Like like I tell college kids right now at the University of Utah, it's like, enjoy this experience, because when you get to NFL, it's business. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, business is sometimes booming, like, you know, like what they say. But then in college, sometimes your best friends will be those ones that you made in high school, and then sometimes in college compared to what you do in the NFL, if you even make it to that level, because things happen.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can easily not be able to play high school football anymore after something happened to Pop Warner. So you have to enjoy it and like take it all in, you know?
No, I like it. So what we figured out so far in this conversation is, be slow to react to your kids' complaints.
Yes, 100%.
Be more, and I talk about this in therapy with parents all the time, but this relates perfectly when you're dealing with athletics, is you can love your kid and you can't save them.
Yeah. And like hearing that, that's something that goes into like, when your kid is complaining to you or talking to you about a couple of things that's not really fair, you know, like politics, different things like that, then you should probably go out there and go watch your kid at practice and just go see.
See both sides of the story.
Yeah, see both sides of the story and take it all in, because at the end of the day, the coach, it is some coaches that's legit, like some a-holes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, we're not trying to make it out like coaches.
And we're not trying to.
But you can't control those.
You can't control those people. Yeah, but you can't control what you can by going to practice or going to a game and really watching it, really taking it all in before reacting. Like you said, take everything in, take in all the information, and be able to, as a parent, don't be like, my kid is this, my kid is that. Take it in and really see what's the best thing that's for your kid.
You know, after I did that podcast, I sent it to you and had you listen to it. And there's a couple of things that I mentioned that stood out to you. If you can't, let's take the worst case scenario. Let's say you do have a coach that's treating your kid unfair, but let's say unknowingly you and your kid have a part to do with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But let's say the coach is a punk, or let's say they're immature. One of those, you know, coaches, raw. Every coach, even bad coaches, do favor certain players.
Yeah, it's natural.
It's natural, right?
Thing. Yeah.
So how do you get, and this is one thing I talked about in that podcast, we're going to go over real quick. How do you get your kid to at least not be on the coach's bad list, right? Uh-huh. You may not get your kid to be favored by the coach. Your kid may not fit a certain standard. Something about your kid that your coach is like, that's not what I'm looking for. But you can influence the coach so that your kid is definitely not on his bad list, and a kid that actually he's going to give some benefit of the doubt to work with. Because the last thing you want is a coach that dismisses your kids, puts them in a corner and a category, says, I'm going to work with these kids and I just have to deal with your kid.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So one thing that you can do as a parent to make sure that you're not on that is, do not call and text coaches constantly asking them how your kid's doing, checking up with them. Taking away from the coach's time is probably not going
to
help you that
much. It's the worst thing to do.
Worst thing you can do.
You should never do that as a parent.
If you have to communicate with the coach, you better make sure it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. But then even if it's worth it, you still probably want to go through your kids as like son or daughter, you know, like, hey.
Have them go first.
Yes. Have them go first. Have them look. This is what I seen as a parent. But what do you see? Because you're at practice every day. You're in the game. You're talking to the coach all the time. Like, what do you see? And if you can share this with the coach, share this at a time that you feel is comfortable for you as a kid.
Absolutely.
Though, you don't do that as a parent. You don't text that message of like, my kid ain't starting. I seen this kid, that kid. That's when the coach would get to a point of like, I can't deal with your parents. So that means I can't deal with you no matter how good of an athlete you are.
Oh, yeah. And then on top of that, also besides telling your kid to go to talk to the coach himself, besides telling your kid to do that, I think it's also very important too that you give the coach compliments and appreciation for their time and effort.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't like something about the coach, separate that from the good things the coach
does. Don't make it personal.
Yeah, don't make it personal. Now, here's a little trick, though. And this is specifically, I'm not saying this is, I don't want to isolate moms in general, but it's more of a typical mom thing. Don't over compliment the coach and be too like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Like, this is so amazing. Like, you helped my son. Like, if you go on and on and on and on and on and on, it's a little needy.
Yeah.
It's like the coach starts feeling like, Are you trying to like, are you going to ask them to start your kid?
Yeah,
all of a
sudden? The other kids, they're going to be looking. They're going to be like, oh, that's, your mom is doing more than was.
It's almost like mom is trying to set up a play date, like to try to kiss, try to like brown nose you.
Come
into
over
getting,
for dinner.
Yeah, it's like, oh, can we help you out? Some moms will try to like, I want my kid to play so well that I just need to show the coach so much admiration, care, and attention. That's not right.
No.
But you want to give compliments. You want to acknowledge that the coach's job is hard. Hey, thank you for taking the time. Really means a lot. When I coach my little son's basketball team, parents go, hey, listen, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for taking the extra time, being patient with my kids. If your coach is patient with your kid, even if he's not super patient, just he's trying to be patient, compliment him on those times. Right? The other thing, too, is that when your kid starts to have those difficulties and you do have to go talk to the coach, of course, if you set up the compliments and if you set up those things, it's going to make it easier to talk to the coach. Always give the coach the benefit of the doubt. And if you do talk to the coach, ask the coach, first of all, are there some things I could do to help my son or help my child be a better teammate, to be more successful in those things? Don't go to there and complain about what your kid's not getting. Don't complain about what the coach isn't doing. Ask for insight and information to help your kid on your end of what you could do to support the coach instead of trying to get in the middle of him and the coach or her and the coach. What do you think about that?
Mm, that's a good thing because those coaches, they see the improvement. So when you look at when a parent walk up to you and say, hey, how can my kid get better? And the coach give you a little blueprint of what can help and what can make things a little bit better. If that kid come back and it shows that he's trying to do these things, coaches take it all in of like, hey, this kid is really like, you know, the heart, he has it. So this kid should be getting some time at something. He's trying his best and he's doing his best at off the field instead of being just on the field. So the coaches take it all in with that. Like when you can see the results, you're coaching. That's coaching.
Absolutely.
That is coaching. When you can see the results of what you have told a player to do and it's being done on the field, it's like, that's all I wanted. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's enough. Yeah, that's another thing.
Yeah, don't go to the coach behind the kid's back.
Yeah, because it just turns. It runs way deeper. Like I said, like the same way that the parents are sitting up there talking to the coaches. The kids are watching.
Yeah.
The athletes are watching. Your kid is watching, but other kids are watching. So let it be known that one kid knows that your parents talking to the coach, and you don't know, and that's your mom or that's your dad talking to the coach, and it's like it turns into a little embarrassment. It turns into more of like
every athlete has been on the court, seen one of your teammates' parents flip out, cause a scene, and you're like, damn, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
And you know that kid just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening.
It matters how you go about it because the same way that parent is flipping out on that coach or yelling at the coach or doing whatever it is to the coach, if that's my mom and dad and I don't know that my mom and dad has been building this relationship with this coach, and they know, my boys know, it's like, nah. I don't think I want to play for the team no more. Like, I can't do this.
So that leads me to one of my last things with the parents. Don't be that parent.
Yeah, don't be that parent.
Don't be that parent. And we all know what that parent is. And a lot of times when parents are that parent, they don't think they are. They think, oh, no, I wasn't doing that. It's different with my situation. Yeah. So when I say don't be that parent, it goes both ways. Don't be the overbearing, in-your-face parent that's arguing and yelling at your kid from the sidelines. Don't yell to your kids from the sidelines, right?
Don't yell at the coach.
Don't yell at your kid. Don't yell at the teammates. Sit down and be a spectator. Yeah. Spectator means to watch. But also on the other hand, don't pull away from your kids when you're mad at them and not talk to them. Yeah. So stop talking to your kids like, fine, well, you never listen to me anyways. And don't communicate to them about sports because you're pissed off. So that's one sort of punishment. The other sort of punishment is getting in their face, yelling at them or doing things to embarrass them. You don't mean to punish them that way, but it is a type of punishment.
See, but I'm honestly learning that, like the technique that you just said about like watching my kid and he's not performing to the top of, he's not performing to the level that I have seen him perform. And I have to like tell myself at the end of the day, this is a game. At the end of the day.
Yeah, it's just.
I have to remind myself that at the end of the day, this is a game. You know, my son, he's going to try his best. Even though I feel in my heart, he didn't do his best. I can't react quick. I have to let the game be played on the game. And I got to be dad when I'm dad. But I can't be sitting up there and the stuff that he did on the field, and it's like bullshit. Is he doing, dude, like, no, hell no. But I got to remember that I'm still his dad.
And what's more important, because I know you and I share very similar sentiments about this, is that if it's a metaphor of life, we have to realize it's not life.
Yes.
It's a training, tool. It can help you. And at the same time, and I know you feel the same way, I would rather my son be a great man than just a great player.
I had to learn that. Because
right? That's hard because if he's capable of being great at that,
it really gets under your skin.
It gets under your skin.
It's like I'm training kids that's around 8 and age. That's around my son's age. I train kids between 9 to 14 or 9 to 15 or 16. And Aiden is 11. And he's not even training with me.
Yeah.
My son don't even train with me. Like, is that he started off, he was training with me. And then all of a sudden it just got to a point where he's just like, well, Dad, I don't want to do it. And I'm like, no, you're going to do it. And then I forced him like 3 times. Then I was just like, you know what, man? Like, I can't force you. It sucks because I told him, I'm like, parents are asking me like, hey, do you have kids? Yeah, my son is sitting right over
here. He's one over there playing Pokemon.
He's sitting reading a book. Like, he ain't doing much. And they like, well, do we do this? I'm like, he is really good at it.
Yeah.
But you just don't have the passion.
Well, and we know when you play with other athletes, how many times did you know a guy that's like, this guy could have been a world beater, been amazing, everything, if he actually even cared that much.
Come on now, inner city kids? Oh, I can tell. I can put a list together. I can put a list of at least 20.
Some
that,
kids.
That I am 100% sure 20 of them would have made it to the NFL. Yeah. 20 of these kids that I know. Well, all they have to do is just stick to the plan. But they...
And thank goodness for you, they did it. Made more space.
They made more space. Yeah, they opened some doors.
But that's a very common thing. It's like some people, their heart's not into it. They choose other things. So it's not mandatory for your son to be great at, to be a great person or a great man, to have to be great at a sport.
Yeah.
That would just be a little added bonus.
But it just teaches so much, like you said. It just teaches a lot of qualities that you use in life. Like when you get older, it helps you with a lot of corporate world stuff, a lot of daily life things that we go through as parents. Sometimes sports can build your character and build that wall that you need when you get older and get in these situations, because you understand how to be a team player, understand how to take criticism, understand how to, you're not going to be number one. You got to work hard to get up there. Sports does that to a lot of kids.
Yeah. Well, last thing I'll say before we got to wrap it up, and we're going to do a part two of this episode for the coaches. Because this is for the parents. We're going to do some for the coaches. Because let's face it, coaches out there, they don't want to stop evolving. And in today's game, it's about relationships. In the NBA, you have a bunch of coaches that aren't necessarily the best X and O's guys. They're good relationship guys. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Popoviches, those guys, the old school, like yelled their players in their faces, they're a dying breed.
But they respect them.
Exactly. But the majority of the coaches now got to be able to handle the egos.
Or the media. Like,
yeah, because Popovich, he's an old breed. They respect him, but
social media.
There ain't no more Popoviches coming up.
No.
Yeah, you're not going to respect no 30-year-old Popovich, right? He'll punch him in the face. You know, you don't want no dude talking like that. So last thing I'll say, and then we'll wrap it up for today, and the next time we'll come back part two of the coaches, is that going back to teaching your kids how to be able to communicate and why they should communicate. When your kids, you know, come to you and they're telling you their frustrations or whatever, obviously don't react like we talk about.
Yes.
You know, don't say, fine, you never listen to me. Just encourage them to go talk to their coaches, but encourage them to do it face-to-face.
Yeah, do it face-to-face.
Look your coach in the eye, and just like we said, go ask your coach, what can I work on? Take notes, and then follow through. A lot of kids will take my advice. They'll go to the coaches and say, coach, what can I work on? I want to get better. Coach gives them all stuff, and they don't do it.
Yeah.
So it's like the coach gave you an opportunity to do it. As parents, if your kids commit to go take your advice, go talk to the coach, when they're done, what did he say? Take some notes and say, now you're going to go work on this. If they choose not to do it and they come back, complain to you again, say, I'm sad. I feel bad for you. Feel that way. And he told you or she told you what to do. That's on you.
And sometimes, just so the parents will know, sometimes that's a test. That's a test.
How bad they really want.
Yes. It turns into how bad do they really want this? Because the coach probably know that they could do it, but it's just like, let's see if he's going to do it or not, or she's going
to
do it or not.
And guess what this is going to be, parents? This is a nice little mic drop to end it on. What this will do, you parents, is determine if you're going to continue to dish out those thousands of dollars for your kid. Because you're going to hate, you're going to be resentful towards your kid if you're putting all this money and they're not falling
and
through.
Not falling
so
through.
If your kid goes, talks to the coach, comes back, doesn't do the stuff, why? And this is what I tell parents all the time, and I'm telling you right now, do not work harder than your kids.
No, but what did you say though? What did you say earlier? You said, return on your investment.
Return on your investment.
I like that. These are our kids. We
don't keep on investing in something that doesn't give you a return. And I don't mean on their talent. I mean on their
just
effort.
On effort. Yeah,
effort alone.
Effort. That's all it is. Effort. Effort can get you a whole lot of places in life.
That's right. Well, you guys, you're going to get to see Rojo here on the podcast. He's going to be my co-host here on the OG Therapy podcast.
Picking it all
when up. I'm having guests, when I'm not having guests, just be able to have someone to talk with. And also, he's just a great dude that I love. So thank you for being on today. Next time, part two, OG Therapy coaches advice on how to approach parents and how to approach kids. Because let's face it, coaches, there ain't no rule book on that one. That's a tough one. In today's world, it's constantly changing.
There ain't no rule book on raising kids.
That's right. No rule book on that either. That'll be the third episode. All right, guys. As always, thank you for visiting us here on Light the Fight. Follow us on OG Therapy. Follow us on Instagram and on YouTube. And until next time, thank you for helping us to light the fight.